Well, I suspect if you do believe in Father Christmas, and why wouldn't you, you might also start deciding where should we be going for our holidays. In fact, that's one of the major challenges that American Express has recently shown, that 2 in 3 parents consult their children when it comes to deciding where to go for a family holiday. In fact, almost 7 in 10 adults have taken at least one holiday chosen by the children in the last 3 years. Now, to look at some of the amazing facts that have emerged from this survey, and indeed provide some very sage advice, it's a true legend of the sports broadcasting world, a tremendous all-round wonderful personality who I'm sure will be Dame Gabby Logan before too long. Yes, it's Gabby Logan. How are you, Gabby?
Oh, wow, what an introduction. I'm very well, thank you very much. Yeah, I've got a few steps to go before damehood, though.
Oh, I'm sure the New Year's Honours list will be... We'll just have to speed it up from the whole thing.
I think the kids call me that anyway, yeah, though, I can imagine.
Well, there you go. So, Gabby, this particular survey, which also shows a difference of opinion in terms of what children love about holidays and obviously what adults love about holidays.
Probably not surprisingly, children, the number one thing is they want to jump in a pool, stay up late and enjoy lots of treats. And adults like to... They like having time with their family, but they want to relax, they want to enjoy the food and drink, and they want to capture moments on camera and share their images. So there's quite a bit of difference, but I think you can get the perfect holiday by, you know, melting all that together so that everybody feels that they're getting something out of it. Because I think parents know that if the kids aren't having a good time, they're not going to have a good time. So I think it is important to consult the kids. So I wasn't surprised actually by how many parents say they consult their kids, because we all know that happy kids make happy parents.
A kind of fusion holiday is possibly what's being looked for. And as you mentioned, obviously the notion of leaving a travel legacy, actually having memories that can be passed on from that point of view. We don't want to take our children overseas and put them off travel for life.
No, exactly. You want them to feel that the world is there to explore and is different and interesting. And sometimes that's by making them realize that they have, you know, an amazing opportunities at home, but also look at the world and see it through different eyes, that there are, you know, there are different ways of living and different ways of communicating and eating and the architecture and all those things that can trigger interest in children, actually, which is, travel does provide, I think, such a rich education. So for me, it's a balance of having holidays where everybody just chills out, maybe recharges their batteries, but I also like them to learn and see things where we go.
There's a sense that sometimes you need to keep it simple as well, just as, you know, we're heading around to Christmas, and clearly sometimes people say it's just the box that the thing comes in that they have more enjoyment with, basically.
Yeah, that was certainly the case. When mine were little, I remember, you know, agonising over presents when they were 2 and 3, and the box was always more interesting.
Yeah, well, the beach, of course, still going to the seaside. It wasn't just in Victorian times that the whole seaside scenario became very popular. That's still number one, just followed by theme parks, I see.
Yeah, I think most of us don't live by a beach, and so beaches are still places that are so symbolic of relaxation and symbolic of tranquility and peace and having, you know, that holiday moment where you breathe in the sea air for the first time, whether it's the south coast of Britain or the north coast of Scotland, or whether you're travelling as far away as, you know, the Caribbean. It's that putting your feet in the sand is so symbolic of being chilled out, isn't it? I was lucky enough to work in Australia for the Rugby World Cup in 2003, and I remember going on the beaches there felt to me like, wow, I can't believe, you know, growing up in Leeds, I never thought I'd walk on the beaches of Australia. It felt so far away. And so I think I'm not surprised that beaches are a popular place that people and kids want to go to.
Absolutely. Skegness or St. Lucia. It's a difficult sort of choice to actually make.
Scarborough Beach. I mean, I've got relatives in Scarborough, and Scarborough's coastline is so amazing.
Well, you're absolutely right, of course. How could we forget Scarborough? I was going to mention Blackpool as well for our West Coast folk as well, but what the hey. And let's not forget Brighton. Moving on, in terms of the most, well, it's not necessarily outrageous, because clearly Richard Branson wants to get ahead of the game here, as indeed do others, but outer space is suggested as a possible place.
I'm not sure that I would encourage that one, and I'm not signing up anytime soon.
Gives a whole new meaning to satellite broadcasting, Gabby.
Yes, I think 1 in 10 kids have said they want to go to space on holiday. They're probably just pushing their parents over the edge, aren't they? And let's see how we can challenge our parents here. But there are, you know, the kids feel, I guess that's an indication of how kids see the world now, you know, and when they see space travel, they think it's for them, which is great. And, you know, if it then leads them to have an interest in astrophysics and, you know, they want to explore the sciences, then I guess that's what travel does as well. It triggers interest, doesn't it?
It's all the fault of Brian Cox, no doubt. Although it has to be said, I once actually thought that 21st century we'd all be wearing silver jumpsuits. That hasn't manifested, but still.
That's not mine.
Well, Gabby, please, it's the whole new world there. Clearly, you're ahead of the game once again. What about your own ideal holiday? Would it be Australia? Would it be Scarborough? Where, or would it be a case of, again, a melding of both?
Yeah, I genuinely love just when we're all together. I don't really mind where it is. And so I've had as lovely a time in Pembrokeshire as I have on ski holidays. Oh. I like ski holidays because everybody is together all the time, and I'm not a particularly great skier, but the kids absolutely love it, and we're all together all day, and, you know, for me that's really enjoyable. But also we were lucky enough to do a safari in South Africa, and so you sit on the vehicle together when you're out on the safari, and you're together for 6 hours a day on that vehicle, 3 in the morning, 3 in the evening, and that's really amazing quality time. And hearing your kids ask great, interesting questions of the rangers, and, you know, them learning so much about wildlife. I mean, I'm learning about it as well. So we're all on that voyage of discovery together. I think those are great holidays. Where I feel sometimes I've gone on places, lovely places, but they've gone off and played with other kids all day long at a kids club or something, and then I feel like I don't see them. So selfishly, I want to spend a bit more time with them, even though they're having a great time with the other kids, doing sport, running around. I do want a bit of time with my own kids, you know. I don't want them to be off with other people all the time.
Absolutely. And in terms of finding out further information, would you say check out the American Express site? Will they give you more details about this?
Yeah, Amex Family Travel. You'll get loads of inspiration and ideas, and, you know, I think it is really valuable to have a little, you know, a plan. Planning is everything, I think. So that'll ensure that you have the best holiday you can, and you do leave that travel legacy to your children.
Splendid. And talking about legacy, Gabby, as this is almost the end of the season, would you like to actually provide a Christmas message or a holiday message for our listeners across the base? It was always important from that point of view.
Yeah, I just hope everybody has a wonderful time with the people they love, and value those moments, even the dodgy presents. You know, we're all going to get one, but, you know, I'm sure those moments, opening up those presents and eating that really gorgeous food, is they're really important memories that we take forever.
Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with a pair of socks again. Gabby Logan, it's been sensational touching base with your good self. Hopefully you've had a reasonably interesting telephonic link.
Yeah, it's been great talking to you.
Well,
have a fantastic Christmas.
We look forward to hopefully connecting with you in the very near future. And yes, I think it's high time we actually. And I think Dame Gabby Logan, it sits well. It sits well.
I'll let you take the campaign on.
We'll go with it. Gabby Logan, many thanks indeed. Take care now.
Thanks so much. Take care. Bye. Have a great Christmas.
Hi, this is Chase Masterson, founder of the Pop Culture Hero Coalition, the first ever organization to make a stand against bullying, racism, misogyny, LGBT bullying, cyberbullying, and other forms of hate using pop culture stories that we love. We all love superheroes. Why not be one? Check out our website at www.popcultureherocoalition.org. Follow us on Facebook at Pop Culture Hero Coalition and on Twitter at Superhero IRL. Thanks so much.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialize in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
King to see, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum. Our finest gifts we bring, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum, rum-pa-bum-bum, rum-pa-bum-bum.
Peace on earth, can it be? years from now, perhaps we'll see.
Our
see the den of goodwill, live in peace, live in peace again. Peace on earth, can it be? Can it be?
I really can't stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you drop in.
Nice.
I'll hold your hands, they're just like
my
ice.
Mother will start to
beautiful, what's your
father will be good.
With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call, it's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Toasting and caroling out in the snow.
There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago.
But of course, the most wonderful time of next year has to be the 2017 London Boat Show, and we're delighted to connect with both London Boat Show spokesperson Pip Woods. How are you, Pip?
Yes, very good, thanks. Hi.
And the fabulous broadcast extraordinaire and former Royal Marine, the fantastically, amazingly wonderful Monty Halls. How are you, Monty? Marvellous. That's great, great stuff there. Now, Monty, key point about this, apart from obviously the fabulous London Boat Show, which we're looking forward to attending, as we always do in January, let's talk about this notion that a recent survey produced by the London Boat Show has suggested that modern Brits have got major, major issues when it comes to reef, bowline, sheepshank, tying knots. Skills are declining, Monty.
Yeah, you know, I think it's quite a valid survey. It raises some very interesting points, actually. You know, have we lost that connection with the outdoors? And it's a cliched view, but a few years ago it seemed that, you know, there was this thing of climbing trees and building dens and exploring and getting out and about. And nowadays it's often about screen time. But the interesting thing is that the arrival of technology actually means that the outdoor world's a lot more accessible to us because of navigation aids and weather forecasts and, you know, communication. You're never really out of communication anywhere in the UK nowadays. So it does make the outdoor world a lot more accessible. And that's a big thing that the boat show's pushing, I think, is saying this is really accessible. It's not elite stuff. Anyone can do it. There's a lot of charities and organizations set up to introduce people to the marine environment. And, you know, what a great environment it is. I think all these sort of ancient skills come alive the moment you go out on a body of water somewhere. And it doesn't have to be on a big boat, it can be on a stand-up paddleboard or, you know, on a Sunseeker multi-million pound yacht. You know, that's entirely up to you.
We leave the Sunseeker multi-million pound yachts to producer Rachel. She's very good for that style of things. It's very important. Pip, if we can turn to you, this is going to be, I think, our eighth boat show that we've actually covered. And each year, I think the one word which for me stands out is it's inspirational. I mean, would you say that's really at the heart of this whole notion in terms of how the London Boat Show is developing, as Monty's just said, the sense of wonder that there is out there?
Absolutely. You know, it is. It's called a boat show for that very reason. It's we want people to come along and be wowed by the sport, by the industry, by actually just accessing the water. So, yeah, there is something there at the show for everybody.
as a family, as somebody that's looking to purchase a boat, or just somebody that's looking to actually get onto the water for the first time and find out information from experts, it's the place to come.
And after all, we do live on an island, so that's very important. Speaking of which, I mean, clearly there are other issues that come across from this survey, Monty, which I just thought were worth mentioning, that less than a third of those surveyed have actually caught their own fish or seafood, and 34% have never caught or gathered their own food, because obviously they go to the supermarket.
Yeah, you know, I think it's easy to get to start preaching about this sort of stuff, and I'm guilty of it myself, but I think that just modern life is so busy, and it's so convenient. I do it myself all the time. It's so convenient to actually go to the supermarket on the way home, and because life's packed nowadays. But, you know, you do sort of lament the loss of the days when we were more connected with the environment. You went to a local fishmonger, or, you know, you actually went out and caught fish. And it's unrealistic to say that you finish a day at work nowadays and you're completely shattered and you climb in your boat and you go and catch a mackerel, which is your dinner. You know, it doesn't really happen like that. But there's a real joy in reconnecting with all that stuff. And I've seen it again and again. I've seen people, I've taken on projects, I've taken out on the boat or introduced to diving or snorkeling or rock pulling or whatever. And you see them come alive, and particularly young people. You just see them come alive and think, wow, this is amazing. This is proper three-dimensional blue planet surround sound, and it's happening right in front of me. And it's a wonderful thing. And I think, again, the boat show allows people to explore the ways they can be exposed to that. You know, as I said, whether you want to do a major expedition or whether you just want to say, you know, I'm going to do something with my family, I'm going to do something with my kids, that's a bit different. I'm just going to get them out on a body of water, and it's a wonderful reconnection with the swallows and Amazons that I think we all are inside.
Pip, somebody who's been managing director of Rockley Watersport since 2003 and obviously a member of the British Marine Boat Show's board, what drew you to this grand, wonderful world of boating and excitement, and indeed the outside world where it's all in 3D and sense around?
Indeed, yeah, well, that's easy. I've been into sailing since I was a very small child, and my parents both sailed, and so that was an easy route in for me. So it's always been part of my life. I, you know, for fun, I will always go camping, outdoorsy. That is what I am inside. You know, I'm very sporty, all those kind of things. So then to be able to marry that passion with my career has been absolutely fabulous. And, you know, genuinely, not a day goes by when I don't enjoy my job, because very much my sort of remit for me, the company, is getting people on the water and growing grassroots participation. I am that sort of beginner level of getting people on the water. So you would come to Rockley to learn how to sail, how to kayak, how to windsurf, that sort of thing.
Well, certainly the great excitement, the yelps of joy from both Teesside and indeed Lincoln this morning when our e-tickets arrived for the London Boat Show for 2017. We've been trying to persuade producer Rachel to come along and do a piece with us there as well. Who knows what could happen? But how can people actually, if they're listening to this and they think, that's it, that's the one that we want to go to, it's the Excel Centre, we need to go to the London Boat Show, how do they do it, Pip?
Okay, well, it's on from the 6th to the 15th of January at the Excel Centre in London. Tickets are available from the londonboatshow.com website. That's all for all the show information. And don't forget, kids go free to the boat show. So really bring them down, because there's loads to do for the kids. We've got a water sports pool where they can actually get into a dry suit, get on the water and have a go to see if they actually like it. And it's free.
And Monty, in terms of the sort of overall sort of line from that point of view, anything you'd like to add in terms of the importance, really, of having this tremendous experience and really just quite literally dipping one's toe in one's water?
Well, it really is. You know, you mentioned, you touched on it, we're an island race, and we're very strongly connected with the sea. Anywhere in the UK, it's impossible to be more than 70 miles away from the sea. And obviously, inland waterways, lakes, ponds, rivers, it's genuinely life-altering. For young people, when you give them a chance to just do something like this, but you've got to give them a chance. You've got to create the circumstances where people can get out in a boat and just do their own thing and explore. And so I'd say, yeah, you know, get yourself down to the show, have a little look at it, and just think, yeah, we're going to give that a go with our family. It's a great family day out, being out on the water. It's hilarious, invariably hilarious.
And an ideal way.
Yeah, you know, and the show gives you an opportunity to explore ways to do that, really. Yeah.
And an ideal way to actually set oneself up for another joyous 2017, which is great stuff. Monty and Pip, it's been fantastic touching base with your good selves this morning. Has it been an okay telephonic link with your good selves? Have you enjoyed it? Has it been okay?
Yes, oh no, it's been very good. It's our lovely way to head into Christmas, and as you say, make a few resolutions for 2017.
Exactly, it's our customer service scenario. So to Monty Halls, broadcaster and former Royal Marine extraordinaire, I think we need to add that as well, and Pip Woods from the London Boat Show, many thanks indeed. Happy holidays.
And you, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Alex. We'll be right back.